So the setting is that some years earlier, Israel, the people of Israel had come to Samuel, God's man, and said, we want a king, like all the other countries, you've got a king. We want a king. And obviously Samuel explains, well, you've got a king. It's the Lord himself. The other nations haven't got him, but the people are insistent, and they have a king. They have what they want. And it's a chilling truth that the Lord sometimes does give us exactly what we want, even if it's not going to do us any good at all. And I think our nation is proving that day after day after day. Not the Me Too movement so much as the me movement all the time. We just see, if I want this, then it's my right. If I want to take my own life or whatever, if I want to identify as a man, woman, whatever, then you mustn't deny me my wish list. If you say something and I decide that that is hate crime against me, then who are you to dispute it? And you know, that's how far we've come in our nation. Well, here's Israel. The Lord has given them what they want, a king, and their king, Saul, is head and shoulders literally above everybody else, but he's a hopeless king. And he demonstrates it by his envy of the young shepherd boy hero, David. And so his fury escalates against David, and so they end up, we have two armies, David's army and Saul's army. David's army is headed up by Joab, and as Angharad rightly said before the reading, Saul's army is headed up by Abner. And it ends up that there's a group of David's army and a group of Saul's army, Abner's army, if you like, then. So you've got Joab's boys, if you like, and Abner's boys, and they start with a good-natured wrestling, but it gets way out of hand, and people get killed. And in fact, David's men are mostly doing the killing. And so Saul's soldiers, Abner and the crew, they just make a run for it. They realize they're in trouble. And some of David's men give chase, and Joab's younger brother, Asahel, he targets Abner. Now, Abner obviously is the leader. He's the main man in Saul's group, and Asahel goes after him. Now, Abner's been on the block a few times. He's a seasoned veteran soldier. You name it, he has seen it and probably done it. So he's not afraid of fighting one against one. And but of course, Asahel is young and fit and also fast. And it becomes obvious to Abner he cannot outrun this fella. So he shouts back to him and says, look, chase somebody else. Chase some of the other fellas, some of the younger fellas, fight them. But of course, Asahel is not interested, because Abner shouts back. He says, look, I got no chance of outrunning you, but you got no chance of fighting me. He doesn't want to kill Asahel. And so he shouts to him, and my title today is Stop. And he goes on to ask, why don't you listen to me? Why do you keep chasing me all the time? I told you to stop. You know, if we could update it to today, I suppose, if this was a TV program, you know, you'd say, you know, why are you chasing me? Why are you pursuing me? I don't really want to fight you. I don't want to kill you. That's what Abner is basically saying to Asahel. Think about what you're doing. You really think you can fight me? You know how many battles I fought? And a youngster like you, oh, you've caught me up, you're fast. But you really think you can take me on? Asahel refuses to listen. He doesn't stop. He doesn't think. He does not think rationally. He does not behave in a sensible fashion. He blankly refuses to be logical. And he squares up to Abner. And within minutes, it's all over. Asahel is dead. And as I read the account just the other day, I was almost shouting out as I read the account to Asahel, how stupid are you? What do you think you're doing? Why? You got no chance against him. What do you think you're doing? Why are you pushing your luck? And in a few minutes, there he is, bleeding to death. Now, a lovely story for a Sunday morning. Nice, pleasant tale, isn't it? But you see, people like us, we keep on annoying God. We continue to push our luck. I was reminded recently, somebody I was talking to on the phone said to me about a particular man who pushed his luck, really did push his luck with God, and died young in a most horrendous fashion, in awful circumstances. Just kept pushing his luck against God. And, you know, we've all done that, and loads of people do it. Probably some of us are still doing it. See, Asael was a fool to pick a fight with Abner. But how many people are fools because they pick a fight with God? You know, I remember a big strapping fella I visit many, many times over the years. We had some arguments, and once or twice I thought he was going to actually snap me in half, because he could have. And he was outside the church having a fag on a Sunday night after I'd preached the gospel. And I remember going up to him and saying, "So what do you think then?" "I'll take my chances," he said. I said, what chances? What chances have you got? Of course, no answer then, because he hasn't thought that far ahead. He's just like ASL, he's not thinking. I saw an interview with Kevin Costner a couple of weeks ago, and I was reminded of a scene in the film. As it happens, I watched the film last night. I didn't know I was going to. And in the film, of course, Kevin Costner is Elliot Ness, the FBI guy. He's after Al Capone, the gangsters, and he corners this gangster who's got a gun, and he says to the gangster, "Right, put the gun down, don't go for your gun. I'll shoot you, don't go for your gun." What does the gangster do? Takes no notice, goes for the gun. Elliot Ness shoots him. And as he's lying there now in a pool of blood, Elliot Ness shouts to him, "Didn't you hear me? Weren't you listening? Did you think it was a game?" I thought, well, this is the kind of thing happened. I was shouting to yourself. "Do you think it's a game, yourself? Aren't you listening? Didn't you hear me?" And how many of us and other people, how many times has the Lord shouted through a megaphone, in pain perhaps, or whatever, to people? Most people in churches this morning. See, you know, we still got a situation. I know the new atheists, so-called, in inverted commas, have been prominent, haven't they? But they still don't dominate. Most people still believe in something up there. Most people in churches and chapels this morning are not atheistic, are they? But it's a game for most people. They come and they go home. They get it over with, they say. They sing their songs. You know, there's somebody said, you know, they reworded the old hymn, "When the saints go marching in, when the saints go ambling in." They amble into church. They shuffle in, they shuffle out. There's movement, there's excitement sometimes perhaps. There's noise, there's perhaps duty, there's ritual, but actually nothing happens, nothing of any consequence. They go in, nobody's any better for the whole enterprise. Nothing happens, it's just a game. They never stop and ask, why? Why am I doing this? Why am I as I am? Why do awful things happen, like this poor lady getting shot on a film set? You know, why are there tears every day? They don't stop and ask. Why is the world as it is? Why am I as I am? Why can't I be trusted? Why can't you trust me? Why can't I trust you? They don't stop and ask. You know, there was a lady I used to visit every Thursday morning down there. And, you know, eventually after months and months and months, perhaps years, I can't remember, of me visiting, she asked, "Oh, so why did you become a Christian?" "Well," I said, "it's a very long story, but in a nutshell, I saw my need to be forgiven." "Why, what did you do, love?" "Well, as it happens, I've done lots of things, but mainly lived for myself." And she immediately said, "Oh, you're too hard on yourself." Yes, of course, that's what she's going to say, because she lives for herself 24/7 and it doesn't bother her. And because it doesn't bother her, she assumes, as I did for years, that it doesn't bother God. But it does bother God. My sin sickens God. I remember preaching at a university last Monday, hardly anybody with a mask on. Interesting, very interesting. There we are. Even though they were all told they had to have masks, I could probably count the number who had a mask on one hand. There we are. Anyway, some years ago, preaching at a university Christian union, and after I preached, there was a man there, and he came up to me and he said, they probably haven't heard anything like that before. It's all been nice and fluffy so far. Well, nice and fluffy is no help to us, is it? Octavius Winslow, a Christian of a previous century, asked the question, who put Jesus on the cross? Wasn't Judas for money, nor Pilate for power, nor the Jews for envy, but God the Father for love. For love. Love for whom? Well, you. For me. He wants us, God, Almighty God, wants us now to stop and ask why. He wants us, he doesn't want us to perish, just like Abner says, I don't want to kill you, Israel. God doesn't want us to perish. Do you know why? He loves us. See, now there's a miracle, isn't it? Because you don't love people who hate you. You don't love people who snub you. You don't love people who blank you all the time, who take no notice of you. We snub God every second of every day. And when you say to somebody, oh, God loves you, they say, oh, yeah, that's his job, isn't it? But you don't behave like that towards people who take no notice of you. We cut him off all the time. He speaks and speaks and speaks of the pandemic and all sorts of other things. And people basically put the phone down on him all the time. And yet he still loves. This is, it's astonishing, I think. I always remember a lady gave me a card at my baptism, a former pupil, actually. I don't think she was a Christian even, but she'd given this card, and the card said, how much does Jesus love me? This much, he reached out his hands and died. Now, I've forgotten it, because I remember thinking, why did he love me, though? But he does. And the only way for me to be saved and for you to be saved is his own son, Jesus Christ, paying the price on your behalf. There's a saying, isn't there? Nobody's perfect. But really, Jesus put an end to that old adage when he came. He lived not only a perfect life, but in his death, he perfectly atoned for all my sins. McShane, Robert Murray McShane, died at 29, a Scottish preacher. Where are my tears over my love of praise? Ah, now, here's a man who sees sin not as just mugging and stealing and swearing and drunkenness or debauchery, whatever. He sees, but the pride that I love people who say nice things about me. Have you come that far? Or have you not even come that far? Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven by which people can be saved. And saved is the word that we need. That's the fact that we need. I need to be saved. Not just from not from the mighty warrior Abner, but from Almighty God. There's been an epidemic. I think that's an accurate word. An epidemic in recent years of famous Christians now saying they're not Christians and telling everybody why they're not. And if you read, and I've read a lot of what they say, it basically boils down to they don't like the way God does things. They don't like the fact that God will judge us. In the book Treasure Island, I've never read it, but I've read about it. And there's a fella, Billy Bones, and he warns Jim Hawkins that a sinister man is going to come with a very sinister message. And, well, Blind Pew comes and he delivers this message for Billy Bones, and it's the black spot, imminent death. In Job 13, we read these words, no godless man would dare come before God. And then the question is asked, would it turn out well if God examined you? Well, would it turn out well if God examined you? See, I knew two guys, I've changed their names. They're both dead now, but I've changed their names. Del and Mel, I've called them, okay? Now, Del is a dangerous man, and I mean that. Del was a dangerous man. Del and Mel, they had been mates, but they had a falling out, and boy, was it a big falling out. And Mel was very aware that this Dell fellow was a dangerous fellow, so he avoided him completely. But he was nervous, Mel, because what if he bumped into him accidentally? What if Dell actually came looking for him? And then one day, Mel was a teacher, actually. One day, in the middle of a lesson, a pupil knocked the door and came in and said, "Oh, I've got a letter was given to me to give to you." And Mel opened it in front of the class. It was addressed to him, opened it. There was no writing. Do you know what was in there? A black spot. So he was. Mel, he was nervous before. I tell you what, he was terrified now. Absolutely terrified, because he knew there's only one person that sent this, and this fella is dangerous. The wages of your sin is death. That's it. You will stand before God, so will I. And I can't rely on you to stand next to me and say that it was a nice bloke, because I'm not a nice bloke. You know, again, you spring up like a flower, it says in Job, but you wither away. We wither away. I'm withering now, aren't I? I'm shapeless. My teeth are going. My hair is gone. We're withering away. We die. And God Almighty has given you chance after chance after chance after opportunity. And unless you've listened, stop and think. He will destroy you. He will. Eternally. You know, again, Job 10, he warns of going to the place of no return, where it's deepest night. And even noon is like deep darkness. It's a terrible picture. We all know, for God so loved the world. What did he do? Well, he gave his one and only son. What for? So that all who believe in him will have eternal life. Oh, that's great. But so that what? They won't perish, because people are going to perish. Where does this leave you? Are you like ASL this morning? Yeah, I'll take my chances. Quietly confident, even though the Lord is warning you, back off, stop and think, what's going to happen? You're going to be on your deathbed one day. ASL said, no sweat, it'll be all right, it'll be fine, it'll all be okay. But it wasn't okay, and it won't be okay unless you turn and trust Jesus. He's the only one who can save us. I say to you now, turn and trust him while you still can. Amen. Let's sing.